Truth News Network. Explaining the truth for those weaned on propaganda. From Rio Linda to Singapore, Fredericksburg to Maui, this is TNN, the Truth News Network. And class is now in session. Here's your professor, Dan Newman.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Truth News Network. I'm Dan Newman. I know it's been a while since we've spoken audibly, but we've been here every day for you. And of course, the only thing that's really mattered in the way of Washington, D.C. of late is the impeachment of President Trump, the trial underway this past week in the Senate. And don't get confused. It's not over yet. The actual vote on the removal of the president will not take place, we are told, until Wednesday of next week. On Monday, the schedule is for both the House managers and President Trump's defense team to make their closing remarks, trying to make a last-minute sale to those senators that will be voting. Tuesday, of course, is the State of the Union address, and I'm kind of mixed up. I felt like President Trump would not feel comfortable giving the State of the Union address with this impeachment vote hanging over his head, but as it is, that's the way it's going to happen. He's going to speak to the United Congress, all 535 members, on Tuesday evening. Wednesday will be the vote. Of course, we'll be all over. Let me apologize to you. The late hours have made it very difficult to do our story every day and also do an audio podcast. By the time we get through writing and piecing everything together that happened each day for you, the previous day in the impeachment trial, it's always very, very late. A couple of mornings, we were up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and normally our stories go live at 1:45 a.m. So, I appreciate you being here. I can't tell you, hundreds of thousands of people have looked in every day and read these stories to keep going with us, and I thank you for it. But we are back in the saddle both ways, written and audio, and so here we are. Know this for sure. February is going to be a very busy month for everybody in Washington. It's going to be very busy for us here, too. We've got our finger on the pulse of what's going on there for you, and we'll bring it to you every day. Now, let's get into today's story and discussion. I wonder how much D.C. capital has been spent by Democrats to find Ukrainian dirt on President Trump. I mean, after all, what we did all last week and the week before and the week before that and the week before that was Ukrainian quid pro quo, President Trump did evil things. Well, that capital to which I refer is our tax dollars, not theirs. But when obvious examples of Ukrainian corruption on the part of Democrats is even whispered, Democrat watchdogs, the lamestream media, go absolutely nuts. There's no evidence of Biden corruption. None has been found, they say. Why hasn't any corruption been found or confirmed? No one has investigated any of it yet. Regardless of what you hear, regardless of what they say or write, no organization of the government has investigated Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, or anyone else affiliated with that alleged wrongdoing yet. And so, yeah, they're correct. There has been no evidence found of Biden corruption yet. Well, remember Vice President Biden blackmailed a former Ukrainian president to fire the prosecutor who had been investigating Burisma Holdings and Hunter Biden? You know, holding congressional-approved aid to Ukraine that wouldn't be paid unless that firing took place. You remember a story like that. That's not corruption. It had been investigated, and there have been no indictments yet. Well, call me wrong, but that's eerily similar to exactly what they just impeached Donald Trump for doing, and he didn't do it. And before Ukraine, folks, it was Russia. That's been almost universal in every allegation made by Democrats against President Trump. Remember these? 2.5 years of the Mueller investigation into unproven allegations of collusion between the Trump campaign and Russians in the 2016 election. Ongoing allegations that President Trump is, quote, enabling America's number one foreign enemy by meeting privately with their president, Russia, Vladimir Putin. MSNBC's Donnie Deutsch stated he had proof of Trump's businesses that laundered millions for Vladimir Putin. This is all about failed casinos, the New York City advertising executive Donnie Deutsch said on Morning Joe. Trump is owned by Putin because he's been laundering money, Russian money, for the last 20 to 30 years. He's owned by Russia. Now, this is Donnie Deutsch talking. You talk to any banker in New York, any business person in New York, any real estate person, we have a president that's selling out our military, that's costing lives because he is owned by our geopolitical enemy, Russia. Then he continued, because he's been laundering money for him as a criminal organization for the last 30 years. No evidence, no proof, not even anything substantive to think about. And of course, there's Representative Adam Schiff. He said for 2 years, he had, quote, indisputable evidence that Donald Trump had colluded with Russia during the 2016 campaign. He was never confronted with it. And even if and when he was confronted, he would never speak about it to anyone. And the media gave him pass after pass for lying about it, like it didn't happen. And there are many more allegations of collusion with Russians, supporting Russian operations worldwide, even working directly with Russian leaders at the highest levels of their government. Every such allegation has been leveled at President Trump, his family members, cabinet members, and even his business associates. What's the irony in all these Russia allegations against Republicans by Democrats? Democrats are the ones who colluded with Russia. Remember the Steele dossier and Fusion GPS? The dossier was the document prepared by Christopher Steele of Fusion GPS. He's a former FBI intelligence informant who collected information from his Russian operative contacts, which included all the dirt from the dossier that then FBI Director Comey told President Trump was salacious and unconfirmed. That dossier that was sworn to be accurate by the FBI, it was included in all of the FISA warrant applications and renewals that the anti-Trump FBI and DOJ officials used to illegally obtain electronic surveillance warrants to spy on the Trump campaign. All that's bad enough. But who authorized and paid for all that? Hillary Clinton's campaign and the Democrat National Committee. Their doing so was justified, they say, as opposition research. And the funds for that were paid through a D.C. law firm. And doing that technically is laundering money. They paid, the campaign paid the money to their law firm, and it wasn't written as opposition research. That wasn't the code that they said it was used for. It was marketing money. All that information come from those informants who were Russians. And then we get to today's story. We'll call this segment, Then There's Ukraine. The U.S.'s only interest in Ukraine is what? Well, it's to keep Russia out of Ukraine. Simple enough. The U.S. European allies are interested in Ukraine because the gas pipeline goes through it and Russia can turn off the gas to Europe and increase prices. The Joe Biden family's ties to Ukraine have been documented here with mounds of evidence and uncontroverted truths over and over and over again. As part of that evidence implicated in Ukrainian for at least unethical involvement are the son of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Paul, and even Mitt Romney. More about that a little bit later. Don't forget the story we gave to you that the husband of Democrat Representative Debbie Mercassel Powell, she's a Democrat from Florida, she sits on that very powerful House Judiciary Committee that just impeached President Trump. Well, reportedly, her husband took $700,000 from firms connected to a Ukrainian oligarch who has allegedly been accused of, quote, ordering contract killings. And then the other story we reported to you over a month ago regarding the close personal and political relationship between Representative Adam Schiff and Ukrainian gun runner Igor Pasternak. Schiff was the beneficiary of the proceeds from several fundraisers in California and Washington that were sponsored by Igor Pasternak, who lobbies members of Congress on behalf of Ukraine, though he is not affiliated with the Ukrainian government. One news report stated this about Pasternak's U.S.-Ukrainian relationship, quote, "His current lobbying objective is for Congress to ship more lethal weapons to Kiev's neo-Nazi regime that kills ethnic Russians. And then what about the Republican shining star Mitt Romney? He's a Republican senator from Utah. You ask, Mitt Romney ran for president? He has Ukrainian ties? Well, according to Web Archives, top Romney advisor Joseph Kofor Black, who publicly goes now by Kofor Black, joined Burisma's board of directors while Hunter Biden was also serving on that board. According to the New Yorker, Hunter joined Burisma's board in April of 2014. He remained there until he declined to renew his position this past May. Wonder why? I think the water got a little hot about his involvement with Burisma. Meanwhile, according to Burisma's website, Black was appointed in February of 2017. He continues to serve on that board. The timelines would indicate that Black and Biden worked together at Burisma, and indeed, web archives from late 2017 show Black and Biden listed simultaneously on the board. Let me tell you a little bit about who he is. Black joined the CIA in 1974, eventually climbed the ranks to become director of the National Counterterrorism Center from 1999 to 2002. In 2002, President George W. Bush appointed him ambassador-at-large and coordinator for counterterrorism. He later worked at Blackwater as a vice chairman before joining Romney's campaign for president as a special advisor on Romney's foreign policy and national security advisory team. That was in October of 2011. In 2017, Black joined the board of Burisma. Ukraine corruption related to politics and politicians in the U.S. federal government did not stop there. Remember Devin Archer, Hunter Biden's buddy and business partner? And also on the board with Hunter at Burisma. He had previously been a top fundraiser for John Kerry, who was Secretary of State at the time. Soon after Devin and Hunter joined the Burisma board, the company channeled $90,000 to a lobbying firm called ML Strategies, which was headed by none other than David Leiter, John Kerry's chief of staff. That's handy, because then Secretary of State John Kerry himself had visited Ukraine with promises of U.S. aid and assistance. You know, just doing the government gig. He was Secretary of State. Well, Leiter registered as a Burisma lobbyist in mid-2014. But in the year leading up to that, he gave close to $60,000 to Democrats, including a select group of U.S. senators who would later be instrumental in pushing cash towards Ukraine's energy sector, directly in line with Burisma's interest. He donated to Senator Ed Markey, Democrat of Massachusetts, four times, and to Senator Jeanne Shaheen, Democrat of New Hampshire, three times. A month after the last of those donations, both Markey and Shaheen were among four senators who wrote a letter to President Obama that said this, quote, "We should leverage the full resources and expertise of the U.S. government to assist Ukraine in improving its energy efficiency, increasing its domestic production, and reforming its energy markets." Seems clean. Seems okay, doesn't it? What could possibly draw so much political attention to the nation of Ukraine? It's not an especially important European country, other than its proximity to Russia. It's not by any means a wealthy country, but Ukraine for decades has built and maintained a top-down semi-presidential country. What type of country is that? What type of government is semi-presidential? Well, Ukraine elects a president, then builds a governing body that runs everything government-related from the top down around him. Pretty much, he handpicks those guys. That political structure is the perfect governing process for corruption. A small group of top politicians control almost exclusively government industries and, through corrupt political power, most of the large private entities. Ukraine's biggest energy demand is gas, of course. And as we said above, there's a pipeline that runs through Ukraine that Russia controls. The gas industry in that country has been fraught with underhanded dealings for decades. And there's a universal scam that has worked for decades there. And let me tell you how it's structured. First, Ukraine buys natural gas from many companies, but relies heavily on Russia for their gas supplies. And of course, sending that gas through Russia to Ukraine. Ukraine's government awards exclusive contracts with Ukrainian companies for the natural gas for the nation. So They go out and buy the gas. They either buy it directly from Russia or from other European countries. It comes through Russia, goes into Ukraine, and it stays in a central place. You know, these energy companies, they have these huge storages of gas, natural gas and oil. Well, it goes there to these private companies. Those companies, energy tycoons or oligarchs sometimes, negotiate gas contracts with Russia and with other European nations. Those countries purchase that gas, and they purchase it at a good price. They buy a lot of it, so, you know, it's fair market value at the time. They resell it in Ukraine. Sounds pretty simple, right? Problem is, those companies in Ukraine are in cahoots with each other and the government. They grossly mark up the prices of that gas sold to Ukraine's utility companies and private companies to resell. In some cases, the prices are doubled and tripled at the consumer level. A whole bunch of those profits, those illicit profits, find their way into all types of graft and corruption. And much of that money, billions of dollars, finds its way into the political system for Ukraine to use for its foreign government operations. Past Ukraine administrations were not just willing to pay bribes for favors from other countries. They aggressively marketed that money in bribes. You know, quid pro quo. We need your help on trade deals. We need your help, political favors from you. So how about we grease your palm with some political donations? I got to tell you, this story is far from over. What has been uncovered regarding the specific corruption in Ukraine with direct involvement with people here in the United States, we're just at the surface of those. There are many ironies in the way Democrats have played this Ukraine-alleged quid pro quo game with President Trump. And in doing that, they've confirmed what we here have stated again and again during and since the 2016 presidential campaign. When Democrats scream, when they holler, when they make continuous allegations against any and all others, I mean across the aisle Republicans, about wrongdoing of some sort, they're showing the world the truth. The truth is, listen closely, every time Democrats make those screaming, hollering claims, they're already doing those things themselves. When the cries rose to a fever pitch about the Trump campaign and Russia collusion was already happening. Hillary financed Russian opposition research from Russians. When Adam Schiff's whistleblower claim came forward about President Trump squeezing Ukraine's President Zelensky to investigate the Bidens, Joe Biden had already blackmailed Ukraine on behalf of his son. You remember the other day I told you about a document we received from the Middle East that details ad nauseum the Biden wrongdoing in Ukraine? Stuff that we haven't seen or heard about here in the United States? Well, as I promised, we put it here today for you below. We're giving it to you verbatim for you to consume. Now, there may be a little bit of a problem for you. It came in a foreign language. We got it interpreted. That's what took us an extra few days. So it may be hard to read. And it's exhaustive. It includes a couple of interviews with some very connected people. They're all revealed here. It came from a very reputable independent news agency called FRN. They're not affiliated with any government or any news organization, but they are an autonomous agency in the way they operate. They use individual contributors that live and report from many countries, and they primarily cover government corruption throughout Europe, the Middle East, and Asia. This article, it may be a little tough for you, so take some time when you have some time to read it through a couple of times. Follow it through to its entirety. It answers many questions about Biden's corrupt and illegal financial dealings with not just Ukraine, but other countries in Europe. And the number is not a few thousand, a few hundred thousand, or even a few $100 million, folks. It involves $1 billion in just one transaction, most of which mysteriously disappeared immediately after being paid to Ukraine by the United States. Happy hunting. There certainly will be much more to come. And until tomorrow, thank you for being a part of the Truth News Network family. You have a great day. So long, everybody.
Conservative thought, not just talk. TNN, the Truth News Network.